The following is a high five moment from highfivecasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high five moment today? Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.
An October morning in a quiet suburb in a town in Scotland. A man is walking his dog when suddenly shots are fired from a car. The man falls to the ground and the car speeds off. An ordinary residential area, but extraordinary things happen in ordinary places.
The instinct right away was it was a political thing.
We're talking about Russian-trained, high-ranking officer in the Secret Service.
An Assassin Comes to Town, a six-part podcast. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, everybody. Wednesday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show kicks off right now, and we've got a big show for you. Alina Haba will be with us in the second hour, Trump attorney in the civil case before, and she's going to tell us about what she thinks about what's going on here in NYC with the Alvin Bragg persecution of Donald Trump. Also, Dave McCormick, big finance guy, Army veteran, and running for Senate in Pennsylvania. Going to talk about some of the specific encampments in Pennsylvania, these protest encampments, and the governor of Pennsylvania, what he's been up to. He's a Democrat. So we shall have that discussion. But the big stuff today, the big news today, that we have to dive into right away, Donald Trump trials. We knew this was going to happen. It is not in the least bit surprising that there's going to be a Trump trial dominance in the news cycle, even in a presidential election year. Instead of rallies, we are focusing in on court appearances because that's what's happening. And in some cases, instead of rallies, there are these court appearances. So let's start with some good news. Good news if you believe in justice. And that is that the Judge Eileen Cannon, who is overseeing the Trump documents Mar-a-Lago obstruction case, has made it so it's very unlikely that trial is going to happen now before the election. She's pushed back the start date on the calendar, some issues of classification that have to be adjudicated, which I always thought was going to be the case. Clay, we'll dive into the analysis on this in a second. I just want to lay out another bit of news. Eric Adams admitted at a press conference yesterday that the New York City prison director for Rikers Island has had discussions with the city about how they would incarcerate Donald Trump. I think that should be noted, that he said he tried to dance around it, but eventually he said, yeah, no, we're ready for that. Now, he didn't say it's going to happen. He just said they're ready for it. So discussions about whether Trump could be put in jail on contempt or perhaps even upon a guilty verdict are not crazy in the least, because there are already discussions about how they would logistically do it. But Clay, let's start with the Eileen Cannon situation. The libs are very upset about this, very upset. She has indefinitely postponed the trial. Significant issues around classified evidence that have to be worked out. I knew this was the case, Clay, because even in really egregious classified information prosecutions, there's always this problem of, is it really classified? And if it is really classified, the jury has to see it to really know that it's so classified. And if the jury can't see it because it's so sensitive, how can the jury know? And if a jury does see it and it's super sensitive, well, aren't we then just telling more people the nuclear secrets, so to speak, or something really important? And is it really worth the government's time to do that? Anyway, that's how this stuff goes down. I know you're looking at Eileen Cannon. The more she upsets the libs, the more justice is done. What do you make of all this?
This case is never going to trial. I think this case is never going to trial, even if Trump loses in 2024, because what Judge Cannon has pointed out is there are now issues with how, this is ridiculous and absurd, but this is where we are. There are issues with how the government has handled and cataloged the classified documents that they claim Donald Trump mishandled. So we're now in a situation where the government raid about mishandled classified documents has now led to the government acknowledging that in some ways it mishandled the classified documents and catalog of those classified documents. And Judge Cannon is actually willing to ask these questions. She's also contemplating the entire selective prosecution aspect to this, where Mike Pence gets a, hey, you did fine, no issues. Joe Biden gets a, hey, he's a doddering old man. His mental capacity is too weak to allow him to be charged with a crime. Hillary Clinton gets a, well, yes, you committed a crime, but we're not going to prosecute. And then Donald Trump gets, you have to spend the rest of your life in prison because you mishandled classified documents. And the way it's being set up, the raid, the Biden administration's involvement, this is all a sham. And what's funny to me about this, Buck, is Eileen Cannon is just asking the judge here basic questions to try to get the everything lined up. And people on the left, they live in such a delusional echo chamber that somehow they're stunned that this case is not going to happen. We've been telling our audience for a year now, I think I set the number at one, it's going to be one case that gets completed. And somehow on the left, they have no idea that this is the case, even though it's been self-evident for anyone with a functional brain for some time where all this was headed.
You know, they were wrong about everything Russia collusion in the most spectacular way. And you'll notice that some of the same pundits, politicians, legal experts who are so certain that Trump is in deep trouble. I mean, remember, it was a joke during the Trump administration. It became a joke. The walls are closing in. He's finally gone too far. For 4 years, they said this. And of course, the walls never closed in and he had not gone too far. They did not lose, though, the people that were saying that, any credibility on the left, because this is about satisfying the emotions of the left wing mob. And if you want to be on TV and you want to sell books and you want to be, you want to get votes, if you're a politician, you have to tell people what they want to hear about Trump. And that means everything legal against Trump, they've got him. He broke the law. It's going to go badly for him. They said this even about the issue of the state ballots. There were a lot of people going on television saying it's complete. First of all, there were judges who said it was legitimate. Think about that for a moment. Lower court judges in the state of Colorado. But Colorado and Maine tried to remove Trump from the ballot. And 9-0, the Supreme Court said effectively, you guys are out of your minds. You absolutely cannot do that. Okay. And the people that were saying the other stuff that was wrong, they're now the same people saying, oh, it's so horrible what Eileen Cannon is doing. But Clay, they're also the people who say they went after Hunter Biden because he's Biden's son, not because he broke the law. They are living in a delusional alternate universe. And Trump is the thing that spirals them more than anything else.
I also think this is a situation where a lot of people in media are afraid of having an opinion if they're not highly educated in this space. And so the strangle point on the left is completely occupied by people who say, oh, Trump's going to spend the rest of his life in prison. Oh, these charges are so significant. Oh, removing him from the ballot is very valid. Because there aren't that many actual quote unquote legal experts, when the New York Times editorial page is filled with people saying this is a serious situation, when MSNBC and CNN are filled with people in this same way, what you really have is a choke point where there aren't that many people who are willing to oppose them. And as a result, you can more easily seed an artificial narrative than you could on something where everybody feels comfortable having an opinion. Does that make sense? Because I do think what they're particularly skilled at in terms of narrative shaping is recognizing choke points and making sure that they grab everything in the area of the choke point. And this is why they really want to restrict speech so substantially. But really, the loser here is the audience, right? If you're a diehard MSNBC fan and you had been told, oh, what Colorado did is legit, oh, what Maine did is legit, if you read the New York Times editorial page and then it's 9-0, you should not be angry at the Supreme Court for the 9-0 decision. You should be angry at all of the prognosticators who told you that this was a legitimate threat to Trump and he was going to be off the ballot, but they're not willing.
Well, you're approaching it as a person of emotional stability and who looks at these things rationally. We see it, Clay. When the Supreme Court says 9-0, their response is, well, the Supreme Court is now illegitimate. The Supreme Court itself is the problem, right? There's always
a shift of the blame.
There's always a shifting of the blame away from the idiots who were telling them things that were not true. And in this classified documents case, let's remember photos, which got out into the media,
yes,
of these super classified documents arrayed on the floor like they were doing, you know, one of those put drugs and guns on the table raids. Those of you who have seen The Wire know what I'm talking about. Drugs and guns on the table. You know, that's how the cops in some areas show that they're cracking down, right? You get a couple kilos of heroin or some vials of crack and you get a Mac-10. That was a big thing in the 90s. You know, you get one, a Tech-9. Remember that? You put that on the table. Looks scary. Oh, look, we're doing our job. They did that with classified documents arrayed on the floor. Part of the issue here is what were the handling procedures for these classified documents? Did you move them around? Did you actually take them as you were supposed to? This, guess what? In our system, you get to adjudicate these things. You don't get to ram this through against the defendant because there's an election coming up that you decided, meaning the Democrats, to ignore so you could take this guy down.
We need to talk also. So that happened yesterday afternoon, shortly after we went off the air. So the South Florida classified documents case is not going to go to trial, I don't think ever, but certainly not until after the 2024 election. Okay. Also, we come back, we'll start to break this down. Fannie Willis is done for. I think she's going to get removed from the DA's office. She's going to be Fannie because she keeps showing her ass. This is one that I'm intentionally mispronouncing. And she is done for. The Georgia Court of Appeals has decided that they are going to examine the ruling from I know this is all very complicated. It's like you're going to law school because there's all so many different moving parts here. We'll talk about it, but what you need to know is Trump is winning in a big way in all of these cases.
Except New York.
Even in New York, I think New York is going well for him.
Oh, no, it's going well.
That too.
But it's not. It's a long way. You know, it's a long way from
over. It's the only case that's going to happen, and it's the most sham, ridiculous, kangaroo court absurdity.
I'm not convinced they're not going to start the J6 case, even if they started in September, the DC case. Not convinced. Clay, why wouldn't they if they can? What's going
to
stop them?
I don't think they're going to be allowed to do it. We'll talk about that. I think you're right. If they can,
who
they would.
Who stops them?
Well, because I think what the Supreme Court is going to say is you have to have a factual hearing to determine which of these actions that you have alleged are specifically related to the presidency and outside the scope of the presidency. And then we have to determine that before we could even have a case. And I don't think they're going to give it back to them until after July 4th.
They're going to give it back to them. They're going to give it back to them in June. And the courts below, the only way it doesn't happen is if the Supreme Court intervenes again in some way. Otherwise, they will fast track the whole thing. They will fast track the J6 trial in D.C.
I don't think the timing on it's going to work.
Who decides that it doesn't work?
Because
the judges.
Well, we'll come back after this
break. Okay, we'll come back to this.
I'll lay that out. We'll talk about this ridiculous Fannie Willis case. That's one intentional mispronunciation, but I'll tell you my theory on that.
Heads up on another data breach that may include your information.
We learned recently that a large health tech subsidiary by the name of Change Healthcare was the victim of a massive cyber attack. Change Healthcare is a subsidiary of health insurance company United Health Group. They recently announced a ransomware cyber attack and informed us that the hackers published some of the stolen information on the dark web, threatening to release more if a ransom is not paid. Change Healthcare processes insurance claims and billing for hospitals, pharmacies, medical practices all across the United States. So if your information is included, it's up to you to protect your own online info. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Protect yourself and your online identity with LifeLock. Their 24/7 systems monitor billions of online transactions each week, looking for evidence of wrongdoing. LifeLock alerts you immediately to potential identity threats you may not spot on your own. And if you do become a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based LifeLock restoration specialist will work to fix it. Join now. Save 25% off your first year with my name, Buck, as your promo code. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go online to LifeLock.com and use promo code Buck for 25% off.
24, Clay and Buck's weekly campaign cliff notes. Episodes drop Sundays at noon Eastern on the free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following is a high five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Woo!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
One of the largest U.S. flags in the state of Georgia is flying high at Pure Talk's headquarters. And it's in honor of that flag and what it stands for that Pure Talk is supporting America's Warrior Partnership in their mission to prevent veteran suicide.
Ask a vet. The transition to civilian life can be difficult, especially in this economy. Access to housing, employment, and even their earned VA benefits can be difficult. That's where America's Warrior Partnership steps in by providing fundamental needs to our warriors.
You can help this great cause simply by switching before Flag Day to my cell phone company, Pure Talk. Choose a wireless company who shares your values. Upgrade your cell phone service to America's most dependable 5G network for just $20 a month. Go to puretalk.com/buck to make the switch. That's puretalk.com/buck for superior cell phone service that's half the price of Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, and to help a vet in need. Grand Canyon University, a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, believes that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. GCU believes in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose.
GCU equips you to serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community.
Change the world for good by putting others before yourself to glorify God. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's online, on-campus, and hybrid learning environments are designed to help you achieve your unique academic, personal, and professional goals.
With over 330 academic programs as of September 2023, GCU meets you where you are and provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Let it flourish. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University, private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We are joined now by Alina Haba, one of the Trump attorneys who has been battling so much of this crazy, ridiculous lawfare. Alina, I've been trying to put my lawyer hat on here. I don't practice, thankfully, anymore, and they're trying to take my law license away for saying that I hope somebody
Clay's
on the
focus
jury
has been jury selection for a while now.
I don't know if you saw that, but they're trying to take my law license away for saying that I hope somebody's a patriot on the jury and will vote not guilty in the current case with Stormy Daniels. But I want to start here with you. I went and read the transcript of the Stormy Daniels testimony and the cross-ex that has happened so far. I don't see how in the world this is not grounds for a mistrial. Whatever you think about Trump, There's no reason that there should have been any testimony at all about the alleged sexual act. It doesn't involve in any way the accusations that have been made against Trump in the affidavits or the crimes. Looking at this purely, I know you're a Trump attorney, but you've been in a lot of courtrooms. Can you believe that the judge allowed the testimony that he did yesterday?
No. I don't want to speak about her in particular. Obviously, she's a witness and she's under oath currently, and we haven't done our cross-examination completely yet. So let me speak generally. When you have a case like this that's about books and records, there is only one reason to distract. There is only one reason to have any kind of testimony that wouldn't have to do directly with the facts and the law on point. And I think that the reason is very simple. The whole purpose of this case, and I've said this a million times, and I think it became very clear, frankly, this week, was that this is solely to, number one, keep President Trump off the campaign trail, because I don't think Biden can beat him if he was fully campaigning. I think he can't beat him even with the minimal campaigning that he's able to do with all of these Biden administration trials, right? So that's first. Second, it's very clear that there just isn't a case. It was clear when the case was brought with the indictment, when DA Bragg couldn't say what the basis was. That was the first indication in his press conference. And now it's even more clear because there's distraction after distraction. There were guardrails put in place. There was extensive motion practice by the attorneys. And I think that, you know, when it's disregarded, I think that's grounds for a mistrial.
Alina, it's Buck. Thanks for being with us. Just I want to make sure that I have this right, because the way, for example, I've been saying that when they refer to this as a hush money trial, that's not really accurate because it's a business records trial. And I feel like they like to call it a hush money trial because it sounds maybe a little more salacious or whatever.
Salacious.
But the paying of the hush money, I'm sorry?
Yeah, no, I agree. Salacious.
Yeah,
exactly.
The paying of the hush money, clearly not illegal. The illegal act here that they're alleging, just really, can you just take us through? So the claim is that they said it was a legal expense in Trump's own records. It's not even like this was, you know, provided to the public in some big way, or, you know, under oath or anything else. The legal records internally for Trump of saying that this was a legal expense to pay off this woman who was extorting Donald Trump, by the way, that then, because that could have had some ancillary effect on public perception about Donald Trump, had it gone out because they had to record it, that could have affected the election, and therefore it's election interference. Is that basically right?
Yes. So basically, let's say you settle a case in, and let's say President Trump right now settles a case, and he books a settlement as a legal expense. And he didn't even book it. Let's remind you, everybody, that he was in the White House. And this was booked by the Trump Organization by an accountant who didn't speak directly to President Trump. And, you know, we have those.
Wait, Alina, I'm sorry. This is really important, though. If that's the case, how could it affect the election if he had already won the election?
Well, that's the whole point. It doesn't. It's a far-reaching witch hunt, and it's a hoax. And he says that, and I love those adjectives, but, the amount of Americans that can actually explain what this trial is about is very small, because no one knows, because there's just so much noise. But you explained it really well. Look, a lawyer was paid. A lawyer invoiced the Trump Organization. They booked that payment as a legal expense, period, the end. Now, you bring in all the other noise, and I'll just speak generally. All that noise, that's for political reasons. That's not laws and facts, and that's not what's supposed to happen in courtrooms. But I've seen it. You guys have seen it now for many, many months. These court proceedings are now no longer about court, about justice, about law and order, about the Constitution. They're about, number one, getting President Trump off the campaign trail, number two, trying to embarrass him, and number three, made up stories that are all being done in coordination. And if there's any question about that, just look at the White House logs. Why are all these people visiting the Biden administration right before they bring claims against President Trump? Why are some of these cases like this one, 8 years later, two DAs said they weren't going to bring charges. And the only time they decided then to change their mind and bring it was after he said he was running. I mean, it's a story that I wish I wasn't seeing in American history, but it's real and it's happening. And we're in the fight of our lives at this moment.
Alina, I'm sure you saw New York City Mayor Eric Adams say that there had been preparations in the event that Trump were put in jail at Rikers Island and how they would handle it. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming on the defense team, you guys have to sit around and talk about how you would respond in the event that Judge Merchan, who has threatened this, did decide for a contempt of court citation to put Trump in jail. What would the defense do? And what is the appellate process like? I frankly don't know, to keep Trump from being put in a jail cell over these contempt allegations, which to me are a clear restriction of his ability to campaign and aren't on their face. Again, this is my legal opinion, aren't on their face permissible given what's going on right now. But how much preparation do you guys have in the event that Merchan decides to escalate this and puts Trump in a jail cell over what he has been saying?
Yeah, I really can't speak to that. Anything like that would be privileged. I can tell you that obviously that would be completely ridiculous and unconstitutional. His First Amendment rights are being violated. He can't speak. But if you have any question about it, look at how the other side can speak. There's no gag order for them, but the defendant who's supposed to have a trial and be innocent until proven guilty, he's the one with a gag order. Usually it's the other way around. And by the way, they're doing the same acts. They're out there spreading words. People involved in the case are talking about it. It's crazy. As far as the whole jail thing, you know, there's so many levels. The fact that we're even talking about it makes me sick. But there are so many levels of people. There's obviously, you know, Secret Service detail that covers him. And then, and when I say cover, I mean, they're his details. So I'm sure that he would be involved. But no, that's not something we sit around and talk about. Right now, what we do is try and fight this ridiculous case against DA Bragg.
I you know, we have so many questions we want to ask you about all these other trials as well. How is Trump able, you know, how is President Trump able to just keep showing up and keep doing this? On just a personal level, I'm curious. I know people that have been broken by, you know, like a tax investigation or something in the past. He's facing four criminal indictments of a farcical nature, and yet he still seems to have pretty good cheer, pretty good energy.
Yeah, I think he said it best. He said life is life. If he were to allow this to break him, then what hope do we have? And I think he sees the big picture that he really is in the way between them and us. And he needs to get to November. He needs to win this election so that we can save our country. So I honestly think it all turns on that. You know, he's not just a regular guy. He's a former president. He's likely the future president. And if he doesn't fight like hell, we're in trouble. So I think that motivates a certain person. And, you know, not everybody can put up with what he's put up with. He's resilient and strong. So, you know, I don't just say that. He truly is.
Alina, we appreciate the battles that you're fighting on behalf of Trump. I know a lot of our listeners do, too. Last question for you, because I know you have to get out. Georgia Court of Appeals is going to consider Fannie Willis, whether she should stay on the case. Also, down in South Florida, Judge Eileen Cannon has ended the May 20th trial date. Both of those big wins for the Trump team. What can you say about those decisions that have come down in the last 24 hours?
Yeah, I think they're great decisions. I think they're a step in the right direction. Obviously, we still have a lot of work to do. But, you know, we saw with the Jack Smith cases and all these cases, they're falling apart. We've seen Miss Willis, you know, she's obviously dealt with financials in the way that she should not. She's hired people she should not. She's had alleged relationships that she should not, et cetera, et cetera. And again, political lawfare. Jack Smith, we saw that they mishandled the evidence. They were sloppy, and then they decided to just put that in the footnote and maybe thought nobody would notice. I'm not really sure what their idea was there, but it's this constant rush of trials to try and get him in front of a court before the 2024 election, to try and hope that they get a judge that is left-wing, get a left-wing jury maybe, and see him get taken again off the campaign trail, possibly in jail. this is what they want. It's by design. But with time, we're seeing, as in the past couple days, that these do get crumbled. We saw it with the AG case, you know, $475 million. It took us some time in the appellate division, but then they brought it down. There is a due process. There is some remnants of law and order in our country, and slowly and surely it will reveal what their true intentions were, and these cases will and should all be dismissed.
Alina Haba, everybody, Trump attorney. Alina, we would really like it if you'd come back as more developments happen here and just tell us what's really going on, because this audience is very attuned to this, and we can all see the injustice that's being perpetrated against President Trump. Thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for staying in the fight.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
We'll take some of your calls on this. You're coming up, 800-282-2882. With all the focus on artificial intelligence and how it can move the stock market and actually change the future of the American economy, what stocks are going to be most affected by this? It's something that you could spend a lifetime studying and not have all the answers, but you don't have that much time, right? You got to actually just get the best information you can from an expert. And the expert that you should check out on this is writer and editor Mark Chaykin. Mark anticipates what AI is going to do in our economy, and specifically what stocks are going to have big moves. Mark worked on Wall Street for 50 years. He invented three new indices for the NASDAQ. So Mark has agreed right now to share one of his favorite AI stocks to buy with you, because he doesn't want Americans to miss out on a critical turning point in the stock market. He put everything for you in a new presentation you can watch for free at 2024AIstock.com. That's 2024AIstock.com. Paid for by Chaykin Analytics.
Want more Clay and Buck that you didn't hear on the show? Get podcast extras in the Clay and Buck podcast feed. Find it on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I hope all of you are having fantastic Wednesdays, wherever you may be across the great country. We are happy to see you on the Clay and Buck video feed. As many of you are watching, I meant to mention yesterday, Buck would just a dastardly ploy to influence video views by bringing Ginger, his Australian Labradoodle, on the show, who might be, I think it's fair to say, you can judge the attractiveness of dogs, right? Like, this dog is in, like, the 99th percentile on, like,
She's supermodel, like, level cuteness, for sure. Her fluffiness, her general demeanor. She made an appearance yesterday, but only Clay and Buck VIP subscribers get to see this.
I mean, if you were going to hire a dog to be a model, this would be the ideal dog to hire as a model. So Ginger the dog, occasionally Buck, and in order to curry favor with the video viewers, will bring Ginger the dog into view. Speaking of the view, we got a lot to dive into. Alina Haba is going to be with us at the bottom of this hour, a little bit after 1:30 on the East Coast, so in about 30 minutes or so, to talk about the latest lawfare against Trump. She obviously is one of the Trump attorneys on television regularly. And then top of the next hour, we're going to be joined by Dave McCormick, who is officially unveiling his ad campaign in the big Pennsylvania Senate race. We'll talk about, I saw Fetterman on Fox News sitting down with Bret Baier. We'll probably ask him about Fetterman and more. But this just happened. Credit to Greg on our staff who grabbed it. The View, which is the dumbest show on television on a daily basis, had Bakari Sellers, who I would probably say is around the 942nd smartest contributor on CNN, just not a very smart dude. And he's been coming after me on social media. Some of you may have seen it, but he decided to go on The View and say that people like Tucker Carlson and then Ben Shapiro and me were not smart enough to be able to have an intelligent debate. And so we made millions of dollars by talking to, I guess, dumb people and not actually advocating our beliefs. So I want to play you that cut. This just happened on The View. Enjoy.
Tucker he's in this silo, and I knew there was a problem when he was able to go on primetime TV and talk about the great replacement theory, which is rooted in white supremacy. Mm-hmm. And it's fear, it's grievance, it's all of these things, and it just permeates itself and it manifests itself in hate. And the problem is that they have ads that play before and ads that play after. And you have these individuals, the Clay Travises of the world, the Ben Shapiros of the world, these people who don't necessarily have the intellect to have honest discussions, but But yet they're able to become millionaires because they're actually just circularizing and promulgating this fear.
Okay.
I mean, first of all, I just feel badly because you guys all know about the honey badger, right? You know about the meme of the honey badger. Clay, when it comes to these things, is the honey badger. He will fight endlessly. He will fight anything. It doesn't matter. He will fight. So there you go.
So you heard Whoopi Goldberg say yeah when he said that I was dumb and not able to intellectually defend myself. I don't see any other response from the view that is possible other than having me on as a guest. And I will go on, Buck, 1v4. I think there are four hosts. I'll take on Joy Behar. I'll take on Whoopi Goldberg, Sonny Hostin, and Alyssa Farah, I think, is the other. Griffin, she may have gotten married. I think that's the quad. I will go on 1v4, and I will allow them to question me on anything under the sun. I think I will intellectually eviscerate them. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll dunk on me. Maybe I'll get embarrassed. But don't you think their audience, given that I've been attacked and Whoopi Goldberg has endorsed the fact that I'm not intelligent enough to defend my beliefs, don't you think they're actually obligated to have me on as a guest now? I mean, wouldn't that be fair? We'll have any of the View people on. We've never run from anybody being a guest on this show. But if you're going to go on and say somebody's not smart and they only get rich because they get to talk to dumb people, basically, which is what they're saying, shouldn't they have me on and prove it?
I mean, also, not that I'm a big credentials guy, but, you know, to go after the Harvard Law guy and the Vanderbilt Law guy as the dumbest people in conservative. Look, Mr. Sellers, Bakari Sellers, right? That's his name.
Yeah.
He's not very smart. Based on what he says on television, I don't know, maybe in person he's quite sharp and brilliant, but his commentary on TV is of a very low level. And, you know, I think The View should have you on. I think that you, having been on The Bill Maher Show, I will tell you, no matter how forceful and eloquent and versatile in debate you may be, when you have 4-on-1, because you have limited talking time, or else you start to look like a crazy person, no matter what, if it's four people at a table and you're there, and you're talking, you know, more than 30-40% of the time, it's going to, and also they're going to shout over you, but I still think they should have you on.
I think that would be incredible. They had Ted Cruz on, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And that was pretty good television because he had a book out. But again, of all the people that you could attack in media, leave me aside. You can agree or disagree with Ben Shapiro. Pretty smart dude. I mean, like, if you want to disagree with his opinions, I think that's fair. He's a Harvard Law grad. I mean, you don't get to graduate from Harvard Law School, generally speaking. There's probably some exceptions. I think Sonny Hostin's a Notre Dame law grad.
Yeah.
So I think there are some exceptions. You know, sometimes you can kind of fight your way through. Ben's got a pretty decent record.
You should go on only if Sonny Hostin promises to have an official printout of her LSAT score and bring it on air and prove that she got into Notre Dame with anywhere near the median LSAT score for Notre Dame. I mean, I would even throw a large wager behind it if I were you.
What I could also require masking just to make sure that we're taking the virus seriously. Which would, I think...
Well, you should definitely go on set and be like, have you guys gotten your 7th boosters? Why not? Why don't you take the virus seriously? What about mutations? You know what's interesting? When you look at this, this is why I always thought COVID is so important for a whole bunch of reasons, and I'm still a little bit fixated on the importance of it over the long term to humanity and certainly in this country. The people who are wrong about all of that are wrong about all this, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just go from one issue to another of being deeply emotionally invested and certain of their position, and then reality eventually overtakes it. They are wrong, and they never stop and think, maybe the other side that was right, maybe I should at least take them more seriously or give them a fair hearing. It's always a total dismissal. I know what the left believes. You know what the left believes. They don't even know what we think. They just have phrases, epithets. Things like calling you and Ben Shapiro stupid. I'll say, I mean, people have, yeah, some leftists have said before, I don't know if they've ever called me stupid, but I will say if they call me dumb, it doesn't offend me. You know what I mean? It's like calling me bald. Doesn't offend me.
Yeah, oh, yeah. First of all, I have a high level of what it would take to offend me, which is probably healthy, given what is said out there.
You could say that Clay is insufficiently devoted to the Tennessee Vols.
That would be an insult.
That would be offensive.
I would be offended by that. But it's all to your point. They keep getting hit by reality, and the reality doesn't penetrate the force field of ignorance that they have built around them. And the 9-0 Supreme Court case is a perfect example of this, because they spent all this time telling their audience, hey, this is a real thing. Like this, the way that this, they had all these great lawyers writing editorial pieces saying this is a really tough call. Trump's not eligible for the ballot. They basically goaded the Colorado Supreme Court into the ruling that they put out there. And then 9-0, the Supreme Court says, yeah, and this is not really a tough call.
Yeah, well, I would also I would point out that never in my media career, I would assume same for you, have I said that a major Supreme Court case was going to go one way and it went 9-0 the other way. You know, I'll be off 5-4, 6-3, yeah. You know, fine, right? That's a coin flip. That could happen. I've never said, oh, the Supreme Court's going to strike this down and 9-0 they uphold something. Like, that's never happened to me one time. And I think it's a worthy point of reflection. Like, if you can be that bad at legal analysis, why should anyone, you know, why should anyone listen to you? It'd be like if you're listening to somebody who says, you know, invest in this real estate market, housing prices are only going to go up. And housing prices go down 90%. You're probably not going to listen to that person.
Yeah, right. And I guess what I'm surprised by is if you were told things that clearly were wrong over and over again. Trump is the perfect example. They have said, I mean, it's Lucy with the football, and every time they're Charlie Brown running up, and every single time Lucy pulls the football, and I really think we've talked about this off air and a little bit on air. What is going to happen if Trump wins in 2024? They got their salvation, really. I mean, they got lucky on COVID because COVID happened in an election year, and that made Trump vulnerable. And I don't think Trump handled the COVID response well. We've talked about this before. And that made him vulnerable. And then they got their salvation, which was Jan 6th. Their idea of Trump is a unique threat to democracy and he's evil. They got January 6th, which was the deepest fruition of their dreams that Jan 6th could have ever happened. And yet, if Trump comes back and wins, these people's brains, already broken, are going to split into a billion pieces. I don't even know how they comprehend
it. Remember in Raiders of the Lost Ark when the Ark of the Covenant opens up and all the Nazis' faces melt off?
Yes.
I'm not saying spoiler that's going to happen, but it might kind of feel like that's happening.
I love saying spoiler alert on old movies.
Yeah.
And if somebody's out there, I've never seen Raiders of the Lost Ark. You just spoiled it for me. Yes. I mean, that's a perfect analogy for what may well happen. And what is likely to occur. And I think right now, are they slowly in your mind starting to recognize that Trump is favored to win? Or do you think they still find it to be impossible that he could win? I don't know what their mindset truly is.
They are anxious. They are not confident. I still think they believe they can pull it out, though. But there is Democrat anxiety around where they, of course, how could there not be? This should, if what they say about Trump is true, Trump should be down 20 points.
You're right.
If what they believe about Donald Trump as a threat to democracy and all this other stuff, the fundamental flaw in their argument is what I mentioned the other day. And I it was even some Democrat who said, like, I hate Trump, but I remember I sent this to you on camera. It was not some famous person, but it was just some tweet that I sent or an X post, whatever. And the guy says, look, the problem with the argument the Democrats have, the central problem is that Trump was president for 4 years and you had peace and a booming economy and everything was better than it is now. Pretty much across the board. Then and people say, oh, what about COVID? Biden's first year sucked. We were all, you know, we were getting shots we didn't need and we still had lockdowns. You know, it's like, so if you're going to compare COVID to COVID, it's a lot harder to be president the first year of COVID than the second year. And Biden was an absolute disaster in COVID. Wrong on everything. Divisive, spiteful.
And Trump didn't handle COVID well. But How many people do you think would have handled COVID well in 2020? DeSantis did in Florida. Brian Kemp did in Georgia. I think, honestly, Rand Paul would have been probably the greatest president we could have had for COVID to have occurred.
You've heard me say this before, right? If I could just, like, make someone president, you know, if Trump got four more years, he said, who could you just, like, parachute in and they're president? They don't have to go through an election, because I don't think he can win a national election. But I have so much respect for Rand Paul. I think he would be, in the role, phenomenal.
I think Rand Paul probably, because he's also a doctor, would have had the ability to kind of keep things somewhat sane on COVID. But I think the number of politicians that would have been in office for the final year of the presidency, like, things would have been worse with Hillary. I don't think there's any doubt. Whoever you want to plug in there, things would have been worse, I think, with virtually every Democrat. Homeowners, are you protecting your home from water damage by making sure your gutters stay clear? With big-time rainstorms in spring and summer, this becomes a priority. Left untouched, you have a problem on your hands. Before you get on a ladder with whatever tools you need to clean out your gutters, you might choose a permanent solution with Leaf Filter. Right now, you can save 20% off your entire purchase, even 30% if you're a military or senior citizen discount qualifier, at leaffilter.com/ClayandBuck. I talked about this yesterday or earlier this week. My gutters got all clogged. I got out on the roof. I'm climbing around out there trying to figure out why they're clogged. Wiffle balls. My boys play wiffle ball in the backyard. They had hit a bunch into the gutters. They had all stacked up, and the water wasn't flowing through. It was backing up. My knucklehead kids had filled our gutters with wiffle balls. Something similar might happen if you got kids at your house, or it could be in a number of other things that are throwing things off. Protect your home. Never clean out your gutters again with Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system. 20% off, up to 30% off. All you have to do is go to leaffilter.com/ClayandBuck. Website, LEAF, that's leaffilter.com/ClayandBuck. No spaces between our names.
You know them as conservative radio hosts. Now just get to know them as guys on the Sunday Hang podcast with Clay and Buck. Find it in their podcast feed on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following is a high five moment from highfivecasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone, goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High five!
High five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at highfivecasino.com!
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
One of the largest U.S. flags in the state of Georgia is flying high at Pure Talk's headquarters. And it's in honor of that flag and what it stands for that Pure Talk is supporting America's Warrior Partnership in their mission to prevent veteran suicide.
Ask a vet. The transition to civilian life can be difficult, especially in this economy. Access to housing, employment, and even their earned VA benefits can be difficult. That's where America's Warrior Partnership steps in, by providing fundamental needs to our warriors.
You can help this great cause simply by switching before Flag Day to my cell phone company, Pure Talk. Choose a wireless company who shares your values. Upgrade your cell phone service to America's most dependable 5G network for just $20 a month.
Go to puretalk.com/clay to make the switch. That's puretalk.com/clay. For superior cell phone service that's half the price of Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, and to help a vet in need.
Grand Canyon University, a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, believes that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. GCU believes in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose.
GCU equips you to serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community.
Change the world for good by putting others before yourself to glorify God. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's online, on-campus, and hybrid learning environments are designed to help you achieve your unique academic, personal, and professional goals.
With over 330 academic programs as of September 2023, GCU meets you where you are and provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Let it flourish. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
We've got Dave McCormick with us. He is a U.S. Army veteran, former CEO of Bridgewater, a massive hedge fund, and he is running for Senate, and we need him. No pressure, Dave, but I mean, the future of the election and maybe the future of the republic rests on your ability to win and help deliver Pennsylvania. So, you know, we know you're used to
broad
pressure.
Broad shoulders. I'm ready. Broad shoulders. Yeah, so, how are you?
So we're good. You know, we're really trying to every day now. We're in election cycle now, right? I mean, we're really feeling it. It's the election day feels like it's barreling towards us, or we're barreling toward it. And we're trying to make sure that we bring as much awareness of the particular battlegrounds that matter as possible. We've talked to you before about the situation in Pennsylvania. First off, I wanted to ask to get into the current news cycle and what's going on. There are some encampments on schools in Pennsylvania, right? Some of these sort of pro-Hamas encampments.
Yeah.
How have they been handled, and what can you tell us about how that's going in your state?
Well, I think in general, it's a real disgrace that these encampments persist, and it's most prominently in Pennsylvania. It's at University of Pennsylvania, and I visited there last week, last Wednesday, and you have one of these situations where the administration has said very clearly what's happening is an absolute violation of campus policy. We walked past these encampments. We had some kids take us around. There's probably 500 kids in that encampment. They speculate only about a third of them are actually Penn students. The most vile things, Zionism is racism, go back to Poland, from the river to the sea. You know, it is vicious, and it's really intimidating to the Jewish kids and other kids to walk through there. They've shut down classes. It is a travesty, and there's not enough moral leadership and leadership in general to get control of these things. And, you know, what I've said publicly is, you know, if you're the president of Penn, you should essentially shut down that encampment. If it's students of Penn, they should be expelled or have disciplinary action. If it's outside agitators, they should be arrested by the police at the of the city of Philadelphia, and get control of this thing, because it's just, and this is not about First Amendment. What they're doing is completely violation of the policy and goes well beyond the protections of First Amendment by inciting violence and bigoted hatred and behavior.
Dave, we appreciate you coming on with us. We know you're all over the state of Pennsylvania campaigning. I'm assuming inflation, cost of goods, is still overwhelmingly what you hear about the most. In your experience, what are Pennsylvanians the most focused on, and how do you think that plays into not only your Senate race, but also obviously the presidential race, as Pennsylvania, along with Michigan and Wisconsin, Big Ten states, probably going to decide this election?
Yeah, I think the two issues of inflation and abortion, inflation and border are the two big issues. Inflation, 60% of Pennsylvanians live paycheck to paycheck, and prices for them are up 20%, 21%. Real wages are only up 14%. So most Pennsylvanians are getting squeezed on food, fuel, rent, and it's making it harder and harder. And then interest payments on you know, a pickup truck, or interest payments on new house, make them almost twice as expensive as they were before Biden came into office. And this is the direct result of President Biden, and Bob Casey supported him every step of the way, votes 98% of the time with him. The direct result of this excessive spending. We've had too much spending from Republicans and Democrats alike, but it has gone through the roof under Biden, $6 trillion of incremental spending, and the war on oil and gas. And those are the drivers of inflation, and the voters absolutely don't believe this nonsense that Bidenomics is making their lives better. They see what it's doing. So that's issue number one. A close second is the border. 10 million illegal migrants. I mean, are you kidding me? The national security implications of, you know, 160 people apprehended on the terrorist watch list. You guys know these statistics. Those are just the ones that are apprehended. And then the fentanyl crisis. It's a huge deal for Pennsylvania. We lost 4,000 Pennsylvanians last year these cartels push the fentanyl. Okay, that's just in Pennsylvania. Where those cartels push the fentanyl across the border, and it's in Pennsylvania within a couple of days, and it's killing people, almost 100,000 nationally. So that issue, the border, the economic burden, the crime, the national security risk, and then the fentanyl, if you and I, if the three of us were sitting in a room together the day Biden took office, we could have never imagined the border would get this out of control. And it's I think people look at it and they see a lack of leadership and chaos. And this, again, Bob Casey voted for sanctuary cities, voted against the wall, voted against funding for Border Patrol, voted against the fentanyl initiative. Bob Casey and Joe Biden own this border, and I think it's the second defining issue for Pennsylvanians. And I think for those reasons, President Trump's ahead in the polls, and I'm closing fast in the polls, and I think people just want new leadership that can undo this chaos.
We're speaking to Dave McCormick, running for Senate in Pennsylvania against Casey. And Dave, I want to bring something to you, because we talked a little bit about the campus situation and looking at the Pennsylvania state of play going into the election. John Fetterman, I don't know what else to say. We've been saying it on the show, so we have to stand behind it. He's been solid on the Israel-Gaza issue based on everything that I've seen so far. I know he's almost a Bernie Sanders disciple on a bunch of other stuff, but here's what I'm getting at. Are they going to play a game here with the various, you know, high level Democrats in your state? You've got the governor is what's his name? Shapiro. You got Shapiro. You've got Fetterman. Are they going to do the whole, oh, we go our own way, we're not these crazy leftist Democrats that have been running the country the last 4 years? Like, I just want to know if you're seeing that, and if that's something you're trying to get ahead of, right? Where they do the head fake of, well, we're not crazy like the rest of the Democrats in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I actually think, you know, Fetterman's a mystery to me too, but I think we're in such a crisis. I think you have to just call balls and strikes. And I'm sure Fetterman and I disagree on 90% of his views, but on this crisis with Israel and what's happening in the campuses, he's been a voice of clarity and moral courage. And I appreciate it. So I've said it. I've said, you know, on this, John Fetterman and I agree. And I think it actually makes Casey look that much weaker, because here you have an example of someone who is from the Democratic Party, very progressive, who sees the right and wrong of this. I give him all the benefit of the doubt. I think he really believes everything he's saying, and I think he's stepping up and saying it. Where Casey tries to have it both ways. Let me give you an example. He says he's against anti-Semitism, and then he endorses Summer Lee, who is a member of the squad and explicitly anti-Semitic and has been associated with all these radical groups. Has refused to call October 7th genocide and a barbaric act that it was. So you can't have it both ways. This is a test. This is a test for these college presidents. It's a test for our public officials. Are you going to call balls and strikes, right and wrong, good and evil? Fetterman, to his credit, has been good on this. Bob Casey, not so much.
We hear a lot about the get out the vote campaign that Pennsylvania has. And one of the stats that I saw and that I hammer home, half the vote was in for Fetterman before they even got to the debate. On the ground, are Republicans, not only for your campaign, but also for Donald Trump's, going to have a ground game, so far as you can tell, that is competitive with what Democrats have been able to do the last couple of cycles in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I think so. I'd say two things. One, Pennsylvania is becoming redder and redder. Pennsylvania will be a red state by 2026. That's big news. In 2016, there were a million more registered Democrats than Republicans. Right now, there's 390,000 registered Democrats more than Republicans. And by Election Day, I think it'll be 300. So we are becoming redder because of some of the demographic shifts, because a lot of Democrats are leaving the party and becoming Republicans, working families. And so we got the wind at our back that way. And the key is to get these voters registered and get them out to vote. And there's a lot of effort being put into a ground game to do that. And then the second thing is mail-in ballots. And listen, this is an area where I think we have alignment. There's an outside group and a lot of efforts to bring resources and focus on this. And President Trump who has been skeptical of mail-in ballots, I think has essentially laid out his position, which he's encouraged all forms of voting, including mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania. He recognizes that we need that to win Pennsylvania. We need to close that gap. We're not going to exceed the Democrats, but we need to close that gap. His campaign and my campaign and the RNC and all the various groups are very aligned and working together on this. So it's a big advantage the Democrats have. We're not going to fix that advantage overnight, but I think we're going to have an opportunity to really chip away at it. And Pennsylvania is going to be, you know, when President Trump wins and I win, we're going to win by a few points. So this really matters, and it's part of the battle plan to change leadership for our Commonwealth and our country.
Dave McCormick, everybody. Dave, really appreciate you being with us. Thanks so much.
Oh, you guys are great. DaveMcCormickPA.com. Thanks for having me, and hope to see you soon.
Thanks so much.
We will see you soon for sure. I'm going to come up there. I'm going to find a game. I'm going to campaign with you. Can't wait to get up to Pennsylvania.
All right. I was going to say it. I'm ready, man. We can find a big Penn State game. It'll be fun.
Yes, we're going to do it. I promise. We'll get it on the schedule here coming up soon. I got to figure out exactly what my responsibilities are for Big Noon for the Fox pregame show, but I will know that sooner rather than later. We'll figure out a game. That is Dave McCormick. Encourage you to go check out the website, get registered. If you're not registered in Pennsylvania, because you got a big Senate race and the presidential race both to be focused on. But I also want to tell you, everybody's trying to save money. You just heard Dave McCormick talk about the fact that 60% of Pennsylvania families living paycheck to paycheck, dealing with the challenges and the ravages of inflation. And when that happens, you try to save money wherever you can. And right now, Pure Talk can make a huge difference for you. Unlimited talk, text, plenty of 5G data, just $20 a month. Less than half the price of Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. You can keep your phone and your same phone number. I have been texting with my 16-year-old all day on his Pure Talk phone. We use Pure Talk to stay in touch with our kids. You can use Pure Talk to stay in touch with your family, and you can save a bundle as well. You can switch today. All you have to do from your cell phone, dial #250, say the keywords Clay and Buck. Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will make switching easy again. #250, say Clay and Buck. You'll save an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250, say Clay and Buck.
Have fun with the guys on Sundays. The Sunday Hang Podcast. It's silly, it's goofy, it's good times. Find it in the Clay and Buck podcast feed on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
An October morning in a quiet suburb in a town in Scotland. A man is walking his dog when suddenly shots are fired from a car. The man falls to the ground and the car speeds off. An ordinary residential area, but extraordinary things happen in ordinary places.
The instinct right away was it was a political thing.
We're talking about Russian-trained, high-ranking officer in the Secret Service.
An Assassin Comes to Town, a six-part podcast. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What are you looking for in a new smart TV? 4K picture quality? High quality and immersive sound? A sleek design? All of those are givens, but only the new Roku Pro Series has all of those and the Roku streaming experience and award-winning OS. Get fast, easy access to all your apps like iHeart, where you can stream all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all day. And regular all-inclusive trips to Roku City. The new Roku Pro Series, a smart TV built by the streaming pros.